Hello, Fight Insight fans, listeners, viewers. Today we will be it's another great podcast. It's podcast number 12. We're going to be talking about Slice of Fire giveaway contest. So we'll be talking about the updates on that. We'll also be talking about UFC with Wicked Names as Fight On Site edition, and much more. So let's hit it, Tim. Hit it. It's Timmy B,
Princey D, Fight In Sight. Yeah. All right. So today our guest is a fighter in the UFC's stacked welterweight division. He's got 22 professional fights, 15 wins, including an 80% finishing rate. He's had two Fight of the Night bonuses with the UFC. His November 2020 fight was canceled last minute as he had to undergo emergency surgery. He's recently just announced that he's all healed up, back to training, and ready for a fight. You may know him as the guy with painted fingernails in the cage. Maybe you know him as the guy that walked out to Baby Shark. Or maybe from his podcast or Twitch streams. We're going to talk about all that stuff and more. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome from Knoxville, Tennessee, Brian Bam Bam Barbarina.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for having me on, guys.
What's going on?
Bam Bam! Brian Bam Bam Barbarina!
That's right,
buddy.
There you go.
Tim, 80% finishing rate. Hey, Bam.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. I like to finish people.
That's right. Damn. And finish.
I wish my grade 11 geography mark was as good, man. 80%. I barely passed, man.
Hey, man, that's better than any of my grades. Not what I was good at, decided to run with it.
That's it.
Well, yeah, Brian, thank you so much for coming, man. And I do want to let everybody know, when I started the podcast, I've been a fan of Bam Bam forever, following him on Instagram. You know, he's one of the first fighters that ever, responded to a comment, when I left a comment on an actual fighter's thing. We'll get to that, but thanks so much, Bam Bam. We asked you to come on, and this guy, such a nice guy, right away from the beginning said, yeah, no problem. And Bam Bam, I had said to you, okay, we're gonna try and wait later. We'll wait later because I want more than just my mom and sister watching, right? We want a few more viewers. And Bam Bam said, you know, it doesn't matter whether you have one viewer or a million, he would come on. So thank you so much for coming on. It's such an honor.
Yeah, of course. I've been waiting to come on and talk with you guys. I was like, what's the wait? What's going on here? Yeah. I see you guys got all these people coming on. I'm like, man, when are they going to ask me to come on? He said he wanted me to come on. I want to know what's going on here. So
yeah,
I'm glad to finally be here.
But Bam Bam, listen, on my side, I only had two of my titas coming on this thing. They just want to see, oh, who's that handsome boy? Oh, he's so handsome. That boy's so handsome. So I was like, on my end, but yeah.
My goodness. So, Brian, I want to start it off by talking just more about your home life, because it's so interesting. All of a sudden on your Instagram, you started to have the Bam Fam Farm. Yeah. Right. And all of a sudden you moved to a farm and you had this crazy different life all of a sudden, and you're really showcasing it. Tell us about that. What happened with moving to the farm?
Yeah. It seems like it all happened so fast. It's just a long process, really, just building it up. But I was training, in Phoenix, and that's where we lived. We lived literally less than 10 miles away from the gym. Me and my wife have been talking about it for a while, getting some land, having some different animals. I was kind of all gung-ho about going to the extreme, off-grid, solar panels, get off, no phones, no, all that, kind of just disappear. And, that's really one of my goals, honestly, is, when I'm done fighting, I'm not fighting to become rich and famous. I'm fighting enough to make enough to be able to just disappear kind of when I'm done. So, and just really focus on my family and everything like that even more. So, but yeah, we decided, hey, we're gonna look for some property, in some different places, and really kind of go for it. So I told the gym, hey, we're gonna be moving eventually. I don't know when and everything, but I had just fought. So we went and we fought Leon Edwards in Rotterdam. And when we came back, we landed on a Sunday, and literally that Sunday, my wife found like this house on Craigslist that was for rent. It just went up and it was on like 6 acres. It was attached to these people's farm, like that they have and everything. And it was like, you know, well, I don't know. We should go for it. Gosh, I'm just skipping it all, man. I forgot the whole backstory. The whole backstory was like, we decided, am I bad?
Bab's like, listen, we got a farm and we're good. All right. We got chicken and stuff. We're good. All right, what else do you want, Tim?
My bad. I totally like skipped way ahead.
No worries. And hey, just so you know, I have zero editing skills. So this, it's gonna look like this. Hey, I wish I could.
It is how it is. I love it. Yeah. That's perfect. That's perfect. Right. So I fought in Nashville. We were talking about moving, getting a farm, blah, blah, blah. I fought in Nashville. We decided to stay a week after I fought. And look at property out there. I know Luke Sanders, you know, from Nashville. I know Scott Holtzman in Knoxville. I've done a lot of training with both of them out at the lab. So we stayed a week, looked at properties, and Nashville was where we were like, okay, we're going to move to Nashville. We went to Knoxville and looked up there. We're like, it's too mountainy. But everything in Nashville was selling so fast. Nashville's booming, so... It's like we found a house, we were going to make an offer. There was already 6 offers on it. And we're just like, yeah, and, you know, it's just so crowded too. And when we left, we're like, well, maybe we should go back, look at Knoxville some more. Like if we get Nashville, even if we're going to be out in the country, it's getting so packed and people are buying so much that it's going to get crowded anyways. So luckily we found, you know, properties out there that were more our speed and what we were looking for. So, we ended up kept going back. And then jump forward back to the Rotterdam fight and coming home, my wife finding it, that house on Craigslist. We had been traveling back and forth to Tennessee quite a bit. And so she's like, we had talked about just moving there first and renting and doing that. And she found this house. So she called them up and they were like, I won't be ready for probably another week, but we are going to start showing it on the weekend. And we have people lined up and everything. And then so... She kind of told them the story of why we're moving out there, stuff like that. And they seemed really cool. And so she hung up, talked to me about it. I was like, well, I mean, when opportunities come, you got to go after them. So let's do it. Call them back, see if we can just get the place without even going and seeing it in person.
And but then, like, but how does that work? But how does that work out that like did either you or your wife have a background of like farming? Like how did you know how to do this stuff? Because your Instagram has like all these different animals and you've got the thing. I mean, I got a photo here, like you've got these cool eggs that you're doing, like all the colored eggs, right? That's from your farm Instagram, which we'll put all the links up in the description. But then also on your page, on your farm Instagram, I thought you were like scouting Kamaru Usman or something because he's the welterweight champ. Because you have this one section that's just about Nigerians. And I'm like, yeah. So this guy's like just hunting, like scouting Nigerian fighters? Like, what is this? And I click on it. And Nigerians, I guess, are a type of goat.
Yeah, we have Nigerian dwarf goats. Right? Yeah. Yep.
So you've got like so many farm animals and stuff. And the idea behind your farm is that you live off of it, right? Like that's...
Yeah, that's our goal, is to live off it as much as possible. You know, from our cattle, we get our meat. From our chickens, we get our eggs. Hoping to get some, we're going to do some meat chickens. We've done that already a little bit. Our goats give us milk, soap, what's it called? Lotions, also cheese, goat cheese. So we have a big garden. You know, we try to live off our land as much as possible, and we're still learning so much. We didn't grow up doing it at all. Neither of us. When I was really little, my grandpa used to tell me, he lives with us from Colombia, and he used to tell me about, he had this farm in Colombia, and he'd tell me about all the animals on it and everything. And I don't know, I guess that's what planted the seed in my mind. And like, I always was super interested in it, always loved animals and everything. And then just hearing his stories as I got older, it kind of settled with me more. And as I had my own family, I was like, I want that lifestyle for them. I want to raise my kids in a different environment, not this city hustle bustle, and, you know, teach them some real life skills and, you know, hard work. And you can get your food by, you know, raising it yourself and everything, and living a healthy lifestyle like that. So, you know, talking about it with my wife. We're just doing research online, videos.
But,
bam,
you had zero experience in farming, like farming experience,
zero.
So you mean to tell me you Googled everything? You Googled and YouTube everything. How is your Wi-Fi over at that end, man? It must emit like radiation.
Yeah,
that's how good it is.
Back then, it probably did. Now it's like we live in a rural area; we barely got internet.
Oh but, my goodness!
Yeah, it's a lot of research, man. Just spending time looking into it. I have a friend in Minnesota who's a cattle farmer or cattle rancher, and he, was helping us, kind of giving us input on cattle and everything. He has Black Angus, so that's what we have too, helping us on that end and stuff like that. But it was really just, a lot of research. My wife looking into what kind of, goats she wanted and what kind of cattle she wanted. She originally wanted some different kind of cattle and stuff. And we might go back down that road, but chickens, and she's gotten even, gone gung-ho with the chickens and has even gotten even different species and everything and, egg color and,
Yeah. Wow.
So, how'd you get all the chickens? So where do you have them? Shipped from, like, or where do you get their chickens from? Amazon or?
Hey, Amazon has everything. Probably do have some big chickens.
Yeah. is there a local farm that you?
There's some local farms. Like, you can go to any Tractor Supply, Co-op, kind of stuff like that. Like a farm store, and they usually have chicks only certain times of the year. But they have them in, like, little bins, and there's a bunch of them. You can get them and buy them or whatever like that, but they don't have like a real variety of breeds. My wife wanted a lot of different colored eggs and stuff like that for like our eggs and everything, so she there's a hatchery online where you can order either newborn chicks, like day old chicks, they come and they're just little chicks in a box, or you can get eggs and you can hatch them yourself. So we did that. Our first batch was day old chicks. They got there and they were in a little box, and you had to build a brooder for them and everything, and then raise them up and built a coop. We built a coop out of all just scrap wood and trees from our woods and everything. Like,
that's awesome.
Never built a house or a building or anything before. Just winged it, and hey, it's been standing for just about 4 years now.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Well, knock on wood, because, now that you said something.
I know.
But that's awesome, man. I mean, like, it's so cool. And, you see your family, growing up on the farm and stuff like that. Yeah, it must be, like, just a totally different life.
Yeah, but, it's amazing.
Yeah, but, switching over to your fighter life, obviously, you had an unfortunate surgery happen in November, which has sidelined you out for a while. Now you're saying things are better now and you're okay. I do have a photo, so viewers beware, but this was what you had posted.
Yeah.
Right? That's you. So
yep, that's me.
And that was just a few weeks out before your last fight?
So I was supposed to fight Daniel Rodriguez, and I took it on, it was a short notice. I think I only had like 3 weeks to prepare, or 3 weeks total with fight week. And so 2 weeks to prepare. And was at the end of that final week. It was the Friday before I'd leave to go to Vegas. And happened that day. Yeah.
That's so literally crazy, man.
It's like a week before the fight.
And so I heard it was like a liter and a half of blood was in your abdomen.
Two liters. Yeah. Mm. 2 liters in my abdomen. And man, it was crazy. Like, it was weird too how it happened. Like, we were just doing my last sparring rounds. I took a spinning back kick to the abdomen, and it wasn't anything crazy. Wasn't crazy hard. Nothing was been kicked way harder, but I don't know. Must've just landed right.
Just that wrong spot, right?
Yeah. And I finished my round, and then I did two more rounds, finished those off, hung out at the gym, was talking with the guys. I trained in North Carolina at Jimmo. So then I had to drive home. And hopped in the car and was like, man, I'm hungry. I forgot to pack my lunch. So I was like, man, I'm going to stop and get some food. And maybe that, help my stomach a little bit. I was like, yeah, it feels a little weird. Maybe I'm just really hungry or something. So I hate saying this, out of the worst place to go eat before fight week. I was going to go to McDonald's to grab a salad. A salad, I promise. But
are you sure you weren't gonna go get a little Pokemon Happy Meal?
Yeah.
I wish, but yeah, I was gonna get a salad, and got there and there's this huge line and I'm like, okay, well, this is just delaying my time to get home, spend time with my family before I have to leave Vegas. And so I waited in the line, got all the way to the front, looking at the menu. It's like, okay, well, I'll ask him. I was like, hey, I'll have a salad. Oh, we don't have salads anymore. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just wasted all that time in this line. You know, I could have been on the road. And then there's a Chick-fil-A right down the road. So I was like, I know they have salads because that's what my wife always gets. So I was like, all right, I'm going there. Got my salad, hit the road, ate it, and I was okay. But my stomach was still hurting a little bit. And I was like, man, that Body Shop must have sat a little worse. You know, it was a little stronger than I thought. And I was on the phone with my wife, and I was complaining about it a little bit. And she's like, well, you know, you just pull over. I'll, you know, drive over there and get you so you don't have to, you know, drive. You can just be comfortable. And I was like, nah, it's all right. I'll, you know, I'm almost there anyway. Not almost there. I was 2.5 hours away, but I was like, yeah, I'll just keep going. And the pain got so bad, and I was like, you know, all of a sudden I started sweating really bad, and started tingling from on my head all the way down to my toes. And I'm on the phone with her. She's like, you need to pull over. I was like, yeah, I'll pull over real quick. And then my vision went out, and I couldn't see, and I'm on the highway.
Wow.
Oh shit. Like, I can't see. She's like, pull over right now. And I'm like, I can't see. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go for it. And all I could think in my head was like, okay, I'm going to go all the way over to the side. And as soon as my tires kind of dip, that means that I've gone off the road and hit this, you know, the grass or dirt or whatever. Yeah, there. Yeah. Thank goodness there wasn't a side rail, 'cause I would have slammed into it. But, so I swerved all the way over. Felt it, and I throw on my brakes, stopped, and she's like, I'm going to call 911. I'm like, I can't see. She's like, I'm going to call 911, I'm going to hang up, answer my call when I call back. And so she did, and then my vision came back, and I was like, well, all right, I'm going to call 911. So I called 911, and they told them where what I could see, and actually I had just – where I was got off was a off-ramp. There was like an off ramp right in front of me. And so I was like, oh, I'm at this exit. I can see the off ramp. I was like, I'm going to drive off and pull into somewhere so it's easier for you guys. They're like, no. I'm like, yeah, I got it. So I pull off and I pull onto like this church parking lot that's right there. And they know exactly where I'm at. So they come and get me, or they're coming over to get me. And I call my wife back and I was like, yeah, I called the ambulance. She's like, oh, thank goodness. She's like, they were transferring me all over. I have, 'cause she didn't know exactly where I was.
Yeah,
I
told her,
40, I was on some other highway apparently.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, internal bleeding, and anyone who's experienced hemorrhaging, the thing is it can be so spontaneous, it can happen so quickly. And luckily you got into the hospital in time, because I mean, sometimes, you know, what if you just slept it off and then you just bleed out, and you know, that's exactly what happens, right? Could possible shock too, right?
Well, I almost just about did that. Just being too tough for my own good, just putting it off. I don't know. I was in that, you know, that mindset when it comes into fight week, or, you know, after that final train session, you're just in a certain mindset. Well, at least I am, and I'm ready to go. And, you know, I'm going to go to fight week and everything's going to go. And I was in that mindset. Like, I was not going to not make the fight. That's the mindset I was in. And, kind of argued with my wife in the minute when the ambulance showed up, because I was like, oh, how far is the hospital? They're like 2 miles. Like, I can drive. You know, we're not going to pay the ambulance bill. I can drive. I can make it. She's like, get the hell out of the car and get in the ambulance. I'm like,
yeah.
It's not that far. I'm feeling fine right now, because the symptoms were like coming and going as far as pain goes and everything. And I was like, oh, I'm fine. I can make it. She's like, get in the ambulance. So I was like, fine, I'll get in the ambulance. So I got out and got in, but I was telling the ambulance people, like, they're like, okay, we're going to get an IV started. You know, what happened? And I was like, wait, you can't give me an IV. They're like, what? And I was like, you can't give me an IV. And they're like, why? And I'm like, no, I'm supposed to fight next week. I said, if I get an IV, I won't be able to fight. I fight for the UFC. There's all these USADA laws and rules or whatever. I can't have an IV. They're like, well, like
that's not an option, right?
Like, can we get it started? And I was like, well, do you have to put anything in me besides the needle? They're like, no. And I was like, all right, then you can get it started. And they're like, at least, like, if we get there and something's really wrong, they can put an IV in you. I was like, okay, that works. So they, you know, got it started. But in this time driving to the hospital, they're asking me all these questions. And now thinking back, it's like, wow, I downplayed it, like, big time. You know, not purposely, but, like, It was like, yeah, I got hit to the body, was having these symptoms, but I'm feeling, you know, kind of better now. They're off and on. And they're like, okay, okay. But then we get to the hospital, and they wheel me from the back where the emergency room is all the way to the front check-in desk. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell? And they're like, oh, yeah, they're just, you know, they're busy. We're going to get you checked in here, and then they'll wheel you back there when you're when they have an opening. I was like, no, I need to go, like, in a room. I should probably talk to a doctor, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, you know, they're busy. We're going to get you checked in. They took me off the gurney, put me in a wheelchair, and I hear him checking me in with the person, and they're like, yeah, he said he has stomach pain, but he's not having any symptoms. No, I think he's, you know, I don't know what's going on, but he seems okay right now. And then as he says that, like, I start having, like, crazy symptoms, like sweating really bad. I'm tingling. I'm almost passing out, falling out of the chair. And all I can, like, get out of my breath is just, like, help me, help me, help me.
Wow.
Something's wrong. Help, help, help. And I'm, like, and as I'm falling out of the chair, and they're like, something's wrong with him. He doesn't look good. And they're like, whoa, rush him back, quick, rush him back. So they take me right back. And the doctor comes running up right in my face. And he's like, what's going on? I was like, I think I ruptured something in my stomach. I got hit in the stomach. I think I ruptured something. Help me. Please help me. So they throw me on the table, cut my shirt open, get an ultrasound machine, put an ultrasound machine. Like, he's full of blood. Call a trauma code. You're going to emergency surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stop. You need to call my wife. You need to call my wife. She's coming from 2 hours away. And they're like, well, I'll call her when you go into surgery. I'm like, no. You need to call her right now in front of me. So they called her and they're like, yes, he's here, blah, blah, blah. He's going to emergency surgery. You need to get here fast.
Wow.
And then I was off on my way.
Bam. Like, listen, I feel like that was an episode of House. Like, I was watching, like, oh, my goodness. Like, it was like, oh, my gosh. Like, is everything going to be okay? Is he going to make it? But can you imagine being the paramedic? People are like, yeah, I'm going to fight in the UFC next week. They were like, no, we need to get this IV started. Can you can I get an autograph first?
Actually, it's funny you say that, Prince, because I was going to say, when you bought the farm, you know how, like, when you're selling property, you can see who's buying your property?
Yeah.
If they had any idea, right? Like, if they were UFC fans and they knew you, they'd be like, okay, we'll sell it to you for that price, but we're going to need a couple of signed
gloves as well. You got to sign here and here and here and here.
There's a shirt.
Sign this on that. Yep.
Bam, here's a baby. Sign the forehead. please. But Bam, what I wanted to ask you too is that, I mean, you switched over to a different state and now you've moved over to a new gym. How does it feel switching over from MMA Lab to Gym O?
It feels really good. You know, I known Jeff before I even – when I was at the lab, because he cornered Scott and would work with Scott quite a bit. Scott worked with him early in his career. That's Scott Holtzman.
Yeah,
and, hot sauce. And so he used to come to the lab and hang out a little for a few days and stuff when Scott was in camp. So I knew him quite a bit. And actually when I fought in Nashville is when we first really clicked and became like friends. I was dieting and I didn't have like food at the moment. He's like, oh, I got chicken up in my room. Come up. And we talked and everything like that. Well, and he's like, oh, I can prep your whole thing. I was like, he's like, for after weigh-ins, I was like, oh, no, I'm going to the buffet. But I don't do that anymore. But yeah, so that's the first time I like actually hung out with him, met him. And then, you know, I was moving out here. I was like, yeah, I'm going to gym. I'm going to train with Jeff and everything. And it's been great, man. It's completely, it's a little bit different just because, you know, at the lab, you have a stable of guys and everything. And Gym O is like, you have guys here and it's building. It's constantly getting more and more. We have more people coming now. Chris Weidman was here. Gosh, terrible what happened to him.
Yeah.
But he did his whole camp here. And a lot of upcoming guys for sure. So
nice.
It's really nice. You know, honestly, it's I don't know how to say this, but it's almost better. Like in this point of my career and everything, it's better. It's better for me, especially everything that I've gone through recently with surgeries and everything. And, you know, I had back surgery too. So, and even before the back surgery, all the issues I've had there, Jeff is the man. He's really, you know, he does my training, my diet, my conditioning. He does it all and plans together. I'm staying at his house. I'm here at his house right now.
Oh, okay.
Training. So, I mean, he really is the man. He's the greatest ever. And, you know, the way he really puts my programs together, even, you know, during my back, you know, issues and trouble. It was really hard to train and everything. And literally we took everything a day by day basis, a session by session, evaluating each moment. Like every minute we were, you know, moving things around, he was adjusting. He had another thing to do instead. You know, if I was having issues, whatever, man, he's the man. And I love being at Jimmo, and I love the whole team we have here, and the vibe here is something really special. And like I said, man, it's continually growing, and it's definitely the place to be.
No, that's awesome. And I mean, like, so watching you grow up in the UFC, like watching from your early fights and going, I mean, one of the things that what I was always keen on was, you know, you were from the MMA lab and Benson Henderson always walked out with you.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was really cool because, you know, at that time he was a champ. He was like, he was the big thing. I mean, he still is, like, he's one of the greatest. Yeah. But he obviously had you under his wing, right? Like, you guys were obviously friends. He was, I guess, mentoring you in a way or whatnot, but he was coaching you. I always thought, wow, that must be really cool for Brian to have such a guy in his corner and, like, consistently. And now you can turn around and I guess you can do that for your fellow fighters. Like, is that something that you would do for your young guys now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, having Ben in my corner was really special. And, you know, training in and out with him, you know, day in, day out. Before I was even in the UFC, you know, I was in his corner. You had me come into his corner. I helped him in camps a lot and, you know, went and worked his corner too and was there all fight week. So I got the experience, you know, walking out to the octagon before I was even walking out to the octagon, you know. I got to the experience and I went to all his stuff, all the interviews, everything, and watched, you know, right there. And it definitely really helped me a lot and impacted me a lot. Just him doing that and him having me there. He's such a great person. And even in the room, you know, the way he pushes is inspiring. You know, he definitely inspires me still to this day. And, you know, it's just something special. He got me ready for, you know, my fights and even before I was even in the UFC. So having him there in my corner and being part of the journey is amazing. I call him a friend, man. He's my brother for sure. I talked to him, you know, just the other day. You know, I came across a picture of me and him at one of my fights in the back after I won. Nice. It's just special, man. And I feel like we have a special bond. And, you know, he's like a brother to me. And, you know, he'll always inspire me to be great and be more. And I think he helped instill that in me by taking me under his wing, really, and showing me how it's supposed to be done, how you're supposed to carry yourself, how you're supposed to work in the room and really push. So it was really special. And yeah, to do it for people now. Yeah. I try to help people anytime I can, cornering people, you know, help guiding them, helping them find fights, whatever, sponsors, anything I can do to help. I'm definitely here to help my team.
No, that's cool because, you know, like, he always appeared as such a respectable, like, honorable guy, right? Like, he always looked like he carried himself like a true champion and all that. And he, you know, and you yourself as well, right? Like, you're like a proper guy, a nice gentleman kind of fighter, right? Like, badass in the cage, but outside the cage, always seemed to be respectful. I do want to ask you, what's your thoughts on the recent stuff that's been going on in face-offs? You know, the Jakar close one, we talked about it on the podcast a few weeks ago about, you know, when Jeremy Stephens pushed the guy.
Yeah.
Bam, bam. If you ever go in a face-off with Jeremy Stephens, you gotta know that that guy's probably going to do something, right? Like, that guy's a little bit aggressive. But then last week we had Ion Cutelaba, and he grabbed that dude's neck, man. That was pretty crazy. I don't know what he was going to do. What's your thoughts on that stuff?
I'm not a fan of it. I never have been. I feel like, you know, I feel the face-offs is just, you know, whatever, if you want to mind games, whatever, if you think touching somebody, pushing them, the mind game, whatever. But I'm just not a fan of it. We're going to fight tomorrow. Like, literally, you can try to do whatever you want tomorrow. Let's see you try. Like, let's see you try to push me tomorrow. So it's just, I'm not a fan of it at all. You know, I can get behind, like, people selling the fight and getting face to face and stuff like that, and maybe touching foreheads or whatever, but to actually do something or push somebody, like, for sure, when I go to face off, like, I'm always ready to, like, if someone's going to try to push me or whatever, like, I stand in a stance where I have, you know, a back foot, a foot back, so I can catch myself at least.
Because you don't know what the other guy's going to do, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, you don't know what he's going to do. So, yeah. And I don't have my hands up, which I don't care, but at least I have a foot back so I can, you know, catch myself if he, you know, tries to push me or whatever. But, I'm not a huge fan of it at all. I thought it was, you know, and then for, you know, Jakar's a friend of mine also, you know, he trained at the lab and everything.
That's so right.
We're yeah. close, but it's terrible. Terrible what happened, yeah. you know, for it. And then the fight gets canceled and then people giving him a hard time for canceling the fight. I mean, his health and safety is most important. The fact that he's having, you know, symptoms from it, from whiplash or whatever, is terrible. Absolutely yeah. terrible. Yeah. And honestly, like something like that, that case, and even Kutulov or whatever, grabbing the guy and pulling him in, you know, I don't know. Does it make sense to have fines put on people who are going to, you know, act crazy? I mean, you got a whole co-main event canceled for pushing somebody like that for absolutely no reason. It's not like
they were... he still got paid, is apparently the story.
Jeremy?
Jeremy still got paid. That's, I mean,
oh my gosh. Look, see, that's ridiculous.
I think so. I mean,
I know Jakar got his show money.
That's yeah, I think, no, I think both of them did. That's what I mean. Like, okay, I think they both got their show money.
Well, then I think if that's the case, then they should have paid Jakar his win money as well, because. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't anything he did to, you know, cost the fight. It was Jeremy's fault and everything. And that's
right.
So it is what it is, you know.
I mean, if anybody was ever going to push you in a face-off, though, it was probably that Sage Northcutt kid, right? Like, he's pretty mean. And
he's aggressive, yeah. I got to watch out for him.
Prince, before I know you want to get to the next question, Prince, but I just want to say one thing. The first time that Bam Bam, like, really stood out, and I'm sure to me, but I'm sure it was to, like,
a lot of people,
was when you beat Sage Northcutt.
Yeah,
right. I remember, Prince, I remember I was headed over to our buddy's Rob's house to watch the fights.
Yeah.
And I got there just in time to watch the Sage Northcutt fight. And this was when, like, you know, it was hype train Sage, right? Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. You were a big Sage fan?
No, not huge. Like, I mean, I was a fan of you because you had beaten Ellenberger before that, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, look, I'm one of those guys that I'm always rooting for the underdog, right? And at that time, I think you were kind of the underdog because you were the lesser known. Definitely
the underdog, yeah.
Right? And then I got there just in time, and I see you putting in the triangle, the arm triangle, and I'm like, okay, and I'm screaming at the TV. I'm like, he's just got to hop over his body. And then he still taps. And I mean, yeah. I'm sure there's nothing you like more, Bam Bam, than going over a fight from 2016. But I don't care. The best part, Bam Bam, and I want to ask you this. What convinced you to do that, what I call the Barbarina roll at the end?
The Bam Bam roll, yeah.
The Bam Bam roll. It was so funny. So to the people watching that don't know, Sage Northcutt, whenever he won, he would always do this standing somersault flip, right? Really cool, really athletic. Bam Bam beats him. The camera's like kind of fading away. You turn to the camera and you're like, hold on. You pretend to do the flip, and instead you just go down on the ground and do like a little somersault,
yeah,
or a cartwheel, yeah. or a somersault,
a roll. It was rolled over my leg.
What was like? Had you planned that, or like what was?
No, it was just spur of the moment, really. Like, I don't know, adrenaline was high. I was the underdog, and people were counting me out like big time. And I took the fight on 8 days' notice. I was handpicked. Like, he had a list of names, and he's like, no. I wasn't even on the list of names for him to fight. He was like, no, I want to fight him. Can I fight him? And they gave me him. So when I got the call, I was just like, no way. No way he wants to fight me. Like, yeah, like seriously. It was in the middle of the night. And I was like, the hell? And I was going up to 170 because I couldn't make the cut anymore. And they're like, yeah, he wants to fight you at 170. And I was like, this is crazy.
Like, okay. But you're saying that because like you're super confident that you can beat this guy.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
This is no problem.
This is ridiculous. Like, why would he chose me? Like, out of all people, like, I get it. Like, people always underestimate me and stuff like that. And especially at that time, like, everyone thought, you know, like, oh, this guy's nothing. You know, he's just a chubby little guy at you know, who was at 55 and moving up to 70 now because he wants to eat his cupcakes or whatever.
But
which
Bam,
I still can't do.
But Bam, let me ask you. So, you know what, in light of what happened with Diego Sanchez, like in terms of what do you think about all the fighter meetings? Like, actually, that was my first time ever even seeing that with the fighter meetings. Is that how it normally goes, like behind the scenes?
I didn't even see his video of the fighter meeting.
Oh, so he has the videos online where his manager was like recording it, and then now
you're not supposed to record it.
So I think they knew he was recording because I think at one point they kind of watched it. Like, I've been watching all this stuff because it's crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess like, is that so? Okay, so you're not allowed to record.
Yeah. So he's like, don't record. Like, I've been back there when he's, you know, Dana White. I don't know. Was it Dana White telling it or Sean or? In the fire meeting?
So it's like, I think what you see is you see like Megan Levy, like you see all the announcers, like you see Paul Felder, John Anik, whatever, and he's just telling his story. But I guess, Prince, what we wanted to really ask was just like...
Oh, okay, so that's like the media thing. That's not even like the fight.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think, they call it the... Yeah, the fight, whatever. It's for them
to talk to him to get like information.
Stories.
Stories to tell while the fight's going on and stuff.
Yeah.
Normally it's, like I said, I didn't see the video, but normally it's pretty chill. Like, they just ask you some questions and you just tell them, like, they just basically ask about what's going on in your life right now. You know, if, you know, little details about, like, they asked me about the farm, stuff like that. So, I don't know. I think it's just crazy what's going on though. I saw a little clip of, the only clip I saw was Paul Felder be like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know, the guy. Saw some clip of the guy chasing people with a knife in a ring.
Fabio, the guy, it's one of his trainers. He was chasing them. I was like, what's going on over here, man?
All I could think was like, who the hell are all these guys that he's chasing with a knife? Are these fighters? Like, what the hell are they doing? And then someone told me, well, they're locked in there. I'm like, does no one know how to jump a cage? Like, what the hell? Does no one know how to be like, hey, man.
Apparently, it's like a fighting, like a training technique that they have. So you just chase them around with a knife. I saw it and I was just like, I thought it was a joke, but I think it was a serious thing. Like, they were actually being chased around and you try to dodge and not get shanked, right?
So you don't do that at Jim O? Because that's a very, like,
I'll have to bring it up. It might be some good training, you know, talk about it.
Yeah.
And speaking of shanking and mealying, so we know that Bam Bam over here he's an everyday farmer, a professional UFC fighter, and also an avid gamer. This man, guys, if anyone's watching this right now, Bam Bam, oh my goodness, they should change your name. They should call you Crack City every 2 seconds. Anyone, if this man gets you in the school, so guys, just want to let you know. So Bam Bam over here has a Twitch account. If you guys follow him, because he's the only one I'm following, because literally it's so entertaining and also stress inducing too. Bam, because I'm just like, the guy's in the right, the right. I wish I could be a spotter for you, and you know what? So yeah, so guys. There you go, right? So Bam Bam over here, DCTB_MMA, follow him, Twitch account. This man right here, I'm telling you, I logged on actually last night just before. I was parking my car and I was watching it live. And this man just goes on a 5-kill streak. Just bam. Anyone that gets in this man's scope, there is no hope. It's crack. Bam, you know what? I'm telling you, they should change your name and they should call it Crack City. Because every time anyone who gets in the scope, it's cracked them, he's down, cracked them, he's down, cracked them, literally. Man, for me, I'm telling you, I play myself, and actually I wanted to get your expertise, Bam. Like, so say if anyone's about to start out and wanting to get in, and there's so much hype in this game too. Like, everyone's getting into it. Everyone's trying to fix out their loadout. Like, any recommendation, any suggestions for anybody that's going in there wanting to, you know, jump in, especially with you, because you have live events.
And you're talking about Warzone, right?
Call of Duty Warzone. Go ahead, Bam Bam.
Well, first of all, anybody who's listening to this that watches my stream or plays with it is rolling right now, because that was like a one night time when I went on a kill streak. Like, Man, I'm struggling. I'm doing the best I can. I got great guys partnering up with me, and they, you know, they're helping me out a lot. And I, dude, you should have seen me in the beginning. It was terrible. Like, I couldn't get a kill to save my life. Like, I've grown so much, and it's not even that good. So,
but Ben, listen, I'm telling you, half the people in that map are camping. It's like, listen, we're going up the mountain, we're going camping. Half the guys are like on top of towers. Some people are just behind doors. Like, you know what I mean? And actually,
that's about me. I don't like to camp. I like to get after them, man. And that's can be my problem sometimes. Is like, I like to rush. I like to get after them.
That's how you fight in the cage. That's how you fight in the game.
Put the bam on them, man. Yeah, gotta get after it. Got time to sit around.
Bam Bam's like, honestly, I just watched his gameplay right now, Tim. This guy's jumping out of windows, an open field. I'm telling you, this is it's like sniper's paradise. He's just I'm like slide, Bam Bam, slide, man. You can do it.
It's like no gunfire yet. I'm good. Keep going.
Yeah. That's it. Well, listen, man, I'm gonna tell you something right now, Bam. I mean, I've been playing since January, and listen, I have never taken a dub in the big map. Ever.
Oh, really?
Ever. I haven't been airlifted out of Verdansk at all. I've been caught up in the smoke every time, man. And you know what? I wanted to ask you, so what are any suggestions for anyone who's trying to fix up their loadout? Listen, I'm gonna come in here, I wanna do well.
Well, let's see, the AMAX is popping right now. The XM4, I believe. But I gotta give credit to my son, man. I honestly just like pick a gun and like, okay, I can load this one up or whatever.
Yeah.
My son rolls over and he's like, Dad, what are you doing? You gotta do this one. You gotta do this setup, this gun, this. He's like, this is what all the mainstreamers are using. This is the guns right here. I'm like, how did you even know that? Oh, I saw it on Twitch. Blah, blah. I'm like, oh my goodness. So he sets up my whole loadout, but I know I have one right now. It's with the AMAX and then the XM4. And XM4 is the one I went on that kill streak with. Yeah, we're just slaying bodies with it.
With the Joker colorway. I was like, oh, man. How much CP points did you spend on that? right?
Yeah, I was like, jeez. I was pumped about it. I was just like,
that's sick. You know what, Bam? Since I got you on, man, and this is my pride and joy, I wanted to show you my own loadout. This is what I've been taking. This is the L's that I've been taking right over here. So as you can see, I'm working with the Kilo 141. Nice. I spent over $200 on this loadout here. I'm just kidding.
Well, man, you're buying it, huh?
That's the only way to get wins over here. So that was my first loadout that I worked with, the Kilo, with the drum kit. Yeah. Right, and then the car for the sniper weapon. But you know what, man? I didn't even know they had bullet drops in that thing. I had people on my cross sights, and I'm like, they're just running right through. I'm like, I might as well be shooting water pistols, man. Bam, no one that wasn't in the manual. I didn't see that. I'm like, guys, look at this. My friends would be spectating me. I'm like, guys, look at this. Watch this. Bam, I'm pulling every trigger. I'm dumping a whole clip on them. I'm like, look, they're just passing right through. It's just like I was strolling the park. Stroll the guy's just running right here. He stops, picks up a clip, and I'm like, hey, look, he's still missing. That's it.
Yeah.
But right now, actually, Bam Bam, this is what I wanted to show you. This is my current loadout. I've been getting a lot of kills with this bad boy. So as you can see, I'm still going with the Kilo, but right there, we got
a little rocket, huh?
Listen, they call me the Rocket Man. Because we're dropping rockets left, right, and center. Cause that thing right there, I'm hopping out of helicopters shooting that thing. So I get more kills because that thing, it's because you know what it is? It's sighted. So when it locks on. So there's no way you miss it, right? So There you go. So
some good loadouts. Hey, man, you look like you got it all set up, man. You don't need my help. Look at that.
Man, it's all for show. It's all for show. I picked the tiger colorway. It's just to scare people. But literally, man, the only kill that I got, Bam, was a guy ran in. So I sprayed at a door, and the guy walked into my bullets. He walked into it was by mistake, and everyone's like, "Whoa, Prince, did you just get a kill?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think it was a team wipe too." Oh my goodness, man! And everyone's like, "Did you clip it?" I think I did, and now that's. That's my whole Twitch account is just that one little clip of me.
Nice. I have some good snipes every now and then. I mean, like, you guys can follow me, DCTV_BamBam on Twitch. Follow me on there. Join in. I throw tournaments. We've had a solos tournament. We've had a duos tournament. Probably do a trios next. we got pretty good turnouts. Last one, we did some prizes and everything. Well, the first one we did too, but I did like some merchandise giveaway. This last one, I did cash prizes and, you know,
oh, nice. It was fun. Cool, man. Now, DCTB is Dream, Commit, Train, Believe.
Yes, yes.
And that is, and that's your branding? Like you made that up?
Yeah, so, well, me and my wife, yeah.
Oh, okay, nice. And then DCTB is also the name of your podcast. Because you do have a podcast that goes as well, and you interview people, and that podcast is great. People should be listening to that as well.
Thank you.
You do a really good job with that. Like, I know I talked to you before, but you do a really good job. You've got a wide variety of different guests, right?
Yeah.
It's just you and the guest. You're having a good conversation. How did that all start, and what's the story behind that?
Yeah, you know, we made DCTB a long time ago, before I was even in the UFC. You know, as you know, I have three kids, Deegan, Chael, and Tevia. And we took the initial out of each one of their first name. And that's how we got. And then my wife put it together where, you know, the word to go with each initial. So Dream, Deegan, Chael, Commit is Chael, and Train is Tevia. And then we brought it full circle and did our last name, Barbarina. Took the B out of there, for Believe, to bring it full circle for the family.
And, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's really close to my heart and our hearts for that reason especially. But it's, you know, we looked at what I'm doing, you know, pursuing fighting, what my wife does, everything, you know, with even school and everything, you know. When there's something we want to do, we go after it. And these are kind of the steps that it took. It all started with a dream and committing to that dream and then putting in the work behind it and training forward and then always, you know, keeping the belief that, you know, you're going to make it happen and the belief in yourself that you're going to get through the tough times and be successful and achieve it. So the slogan is achieve it because ultimately you're going to achieve that, you know, those dreams and everything that you put your mind to. So for the longest time, it was just, you know, mainly for us to seek inspiration and motivation for whatever we're going to go after, just something to look back on and think of as, you know, when there's something new we want to get after, hence the farm. Then it was for our kids, you know, for our kids to kind of, you know, take motivation, inspiration from as well and see firsthand, like, you know, this is the path that, you know, I took to get to fighting and it started like this. And, you know, obviously there's stories in between there, but, and then, you know, I wanted to do a clothing brand with it and I ordered some shirts and everything and the logo, like they had messed up the placement of the logo and it was like, okay, so I sent it back and then they sent it back again and it was still the same. And I was like, okay. And so I sent it back and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait. I got my refund. I was like, you know, maybe this just isn't the right time or the right thing, the right moment. And then I was like, you know, after a while, I was beginning to think like, how can I help spread this message? I want, you know, people to go after what they love to do, to go after their dreams, to know that they can be successful. They can achieve it. They can do these things. And, you know, maybe their path isn't the same as mine, but maybe it's the same as somebody else's who was able to achieve it. And maybe they can get most motivation and inspiration from it and benefit from any knowledge that these people can share. Maybe they have tips or things they're doing to help move them forward. So I started the podcast, the freakiest thing ever, you know, interviewing, talking to people like you guys and asking me questions in the UFC, asking me questions. Completely fine, like a little nervous, not so much anymore, but you know, not bad. And you talk fine, everything. But then being flipping the script and me having to carry the conversation and ask the question, oh my gosh, terrifying, terrifying, scared to death, like more than any fight, anything. Like, oh my gosh, like I'm gonna have to talk to some random person I don't know, but they're doing all the things I want, you know, for the podcast. And I want to get to know them. I want to hear their story. I want people to hear their stories. Like, oh my gosh, but then I'm going to have to talk to them. I'm going to have to ask them questions. I'm going to have to carry the conversation. What if they stop and like, there's a pause, a long awkward pause or something, like, what am I going to do?
And bam. And that's the thing. I mean, you should have seen us when we first started. I'm like, hello, what's your name? What is your name? I just answered that. Oh, your name? So we go back at the very beginning, right?
Yeah.
But actually, speaking of in terms of you know, following your dreams and, you know, achieving some of the things that you want to do. And in your case, becoming a fighter, like what made you choose to become a fighter? And, you know, what are some of the best moments of being in the UFC so far? Like your hands, I honestly, for me, for you, it would be the Norcutt, like that, you go in there and your celebration roll. It's like, it's usually he does that, they're back, but you just do a roll over. You're like, simple guy, just choke the guy out. Okay. Back to work. Right.
Yep. Exactly. You know, the pursuit to fighting, you know, it wasn't always there. It was, you know, honestly, football when I was coming up. Yeah, mm-hmm. I always wanted to play football. My mom didn't like contact sports. So I played some other sports growing up, but she wouldn't let me play football. But I used to play football all the time. I always had a ball in my hand. I have two younger brothers. They're a year younger than me, and they're twins. So we always had each other, and we were always play catch and everything, and, you know, tackle each other. And we'd play box. Like, my dad had some boxing gloves that we played with and stuff like that, and mess around. And my dad taught us, like, basic, you know, self-defense. So, you know, I got picked on a lot as I was a kid. I was really heavy set and a big kid. So I got picked on quite a bit, got into some scuffles, got in some fights quite a bit in school. Same with my brothers. They got picked on quite a bit too, and got in fights. And, you know, it's just, you know, it was just happened. And then, you know, I pursued football and got to finally play football in high school. And then, you know, suited out for varsity at the end of my freshman season, went up to varsity. I was playing in California, and then moved to Arizona, played there, varsity all the rest of the last 3 years, and got full rides to go play at places. And decided, I found MMA my junior year of high school, started an underground fight club at the school, me and my brothers, and just got things rolling from there, and trying to learn as much as we can off of watching it on TV. And that's about it. YouTube and everything didn't seem that popular back then, but, yeah, so we just practiced on each other, and, you know, we always had decent stand up. My brothers wrestled the year, and I never wrestled. I wrestled for a week. I wrestled for a week. The coach kept bothering me to come wrestle, and I was like, you know what? I'll try it, but after I'm done, like, if I don't want to do it, I'm not doing it. You can't bother me no more. He's like, oh, yeah, come out. So it was like this week of wrestling, and then at the end of the week, you had to wrestle for your spot on the team, varsity or JV. And so went through the whole week, wrestled against the varsity guy, beat him, and was like, all right, I'm done. I'm going to go.
So you retired undefeated.
I'm done. Nice. But I don't know. It was like, I look back now, I'm like, man, I don't know why I didn't think of wrestling. Like, why didn't I wrestle? You know, it's probably because I didn't, you know, really decide that I was going to pursue MMA until I was a senior. And even then, I was like, didn't think wrestling was that big of a deal. So, but honestly, I guess it's probably good that I didn't, because maybe it would have affected my style. I feel like my style is exciting, and I bring it every time. Maybe I, you know, would have got into that lay and pray too much or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, like, you know, like, yeah, two-time fight of the night. Man, I'll tell you, before this interview too, I rewatched your fight with Vicente Luque. God dang, man. Like, I had you winning that whole fight. Right. Yeah. I had you winning that whole fight. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, that's the thing though. Right. I mean, he's off on a good streak now too. That's always a fight that's probably going to irk him. Right. Or that's going to be a fight that, you know, at some point you're going to be able to take that back. Right. So
yeah,
very excited for you for that. What, I mean, I know we're coming close to time too, so I do want to ask you though, what's next for Bam Bam? I know you're training now, you're back in. I saw that. What's the news with you now?
Yeah, you know, training's going good. You know, I started off just doing, well, actually all I could do is walk for a while, and then, you know, building into it, the doctors didn't tell me to hang them up, be done. Not time yet. So, you know, we started slowly, not slow enough, because I ended up getting some tears in my abdomen, and so I had to sit back a little longer, and then got going. And was able to start picking things up again. And my coach, like I said, he runs my whole program. Even when I was injured, you know, we had a game plan, and he made the right adjustments and was able to build. And I think ultimately for the better, it's we worked on some long-term things rather than getting in shape right away or anything like that. So the goal was to return in July. That was my goal. Actually, my goal was to return sooner than that, but it didn't happen. So July is it was the goal, and doing good. Like I said, I'm out here at my coach's house right now, training at Gymmo, having great sessions, feeling great, body's holding up, doing great. And, you know, I'm looking forward to being back in the cage July 31st.
Well, listen, when I was watching his live Twitch, he was screaming it all July 31st, and I was losing connection. And I was like, damn, I'm like, who are you fighting, man? Who are you fighting? So who are you fighting? So what's the fight card?
Are you allowed to say?
Or no?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say, honestly. It's weird because they tell you, like, you can't announce it until we announce it. It's like, I signed the contract, so, like.
All right.
You're going to change the fight on me? Either way, I don't care if they did change the fight because I'd fight anybody. So it didn't matter what name they gave me. But it's July 31st, and the event is to be determined. I don't know where it's going to be yet, but I'm fighting.
But bam, yeah, any call-outs actually? Any call-outs at all? Anyone out there that you wanted to call out from the divisions? Anyone from out there?
Everybody. Everybody needs to be on notice. Yeah, I like to reschedule the Daniel Rodriguez fight, and actually I was really hoping for that one to get rebooked for this one, but it's not him. I was really looking forward to that fight. Like, I was in the best shape. Gosh, I was in the best shape I ever have been. I was better than I've ever been, sharper than I've ever been. Felt great. You know, I had the back surgery, was out for a year, came back, had the one fight against Ivy, and man, that was a freaking mess too, because so much happened fight week. It was crazy. But like, got the win, you know, didn't get to finish him, whatever, but I went all three rounds. Honestly, that was probably the best thing for me too, coming back after a year layoff, getting the three rounds in there. Still felt great. Man, I was ready. I was ready to go on my run to the title. Got the Daniel Rodriguez fight, was super stoked about that because he's coming up, he had a lot of momentum on him. He's been putting guys away. He comes to fight. That's what I love, is he comes to fight and brings it. I was ready to put it on him, put him away. So it sucks that didn't happen. You know, God has a plan, and that wasn't part of it for now. And maybe it'll come back around. But I'm willing to take on anybody. So whatever name they want to give me, that's who it is. It didn't matter. It wasn't a question if who or why not or whatever. It's just, yeah, send the contract. Let's do it.
But July 31st, the fight that you've got, you're happy with it? You're good? You're happy?
Like I said, I'm happy I'm fighting, so it don't matter who it is. I don't, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Nice.
Who the name is does not matter. What ranking or not, or where they're at in the roster, if they're a newcomer or been there for years, it does not matter. I get to fight again, and I'm happy about that.
And
anybody can get it, and he's going to get it, so.
Nice. Before we go, Prince, because we do want to do the fight on site, but we did ask a few people, Bam Bam, for some questions to ask you. We got quite a few, so just kind of rapid fire answers, just because I do want to be respectful of your time. Prince, okay, so first question.
The first question, Bam, so will we ever see the Mohawk come back again, and what product do you use for your beard?
Yes, you will see the Mohawk again. The hair should be grown back by July. So we're good to go there.
Awesome.
I had it, and I had a mullet actually for a while too, but it was just the hair too long. I didn't do like a fancy mullet up top, like business in the front. It was just all party, baby. But it was poking me in the eyes. I couldn't stand it anymore. Just shaved my head. But it should be back for July. Mohawk for July. Counting for the fight. Beard products. I jump between a couple different ones. I probably use the most of Tennessee Beard Co. They're out here in Tennessee. The guy reached out and sent me some beard oil, and I really like it, man. I've been using it quite a bit. Goat soap from the farm. Very nice. Has some essential oils in it as well. For a while there, I was looking at making my own beard oil, so I have all the combinations that I like and everything. So we have that in goat soap, and just helps the beard out, man.
Nice.
Someone by the name of Mark D asked, what's the best bait to use when fishing in the springtime?
Oh, okay. I like to go with like a Texas rig, which is like a bass hook, and I want to wait like right on top of it. And then I like to use, it's like a rubber worm almost. I don't know how to explain it, it's right here, but long rubber worm with like a tail on it. And so I hook it up, put it on there, cast that baby out for springtime, man. Bass be jumping. I'm telling you. Hey, nice. I didn't grow up. That's another thing too. It's like, I didn't grow up fishing. Like, we went camping every now and then and fished a little bit. And I wasn't, you know, we weren't like big avid campers or fishermen or anything like that. So that's something I've been trying to get better at myself, and learn more about, for the main purpose of, I enjoy it. It's fun. And I want to teach my kids. Like, I want my kids to have this knowledge. Like, they can go out and they can fish and, you know, get their food for whatever, or just for the enjoy of it. And when I'm old, I can throw a fishing pole out. My son can sit there, he can throw his fishing pole out, and we can still talk, you know, have a conversation, sit there, spend time together, talk by just doing this, by fishing, enjoying that and having fun. May not catch anything, been plenty of those times. But at least like I get to spend time with my kids and, you know, enjoy the time and have conversation with them while we're doing it.
And also for rookies, and for the rookies out there as well, if you don't know anything about fishing, the good old Dempster's Choice bread, stick it onto your hook, you're good to go.
Bro, those hot dog.
Hot dog. There you go.
Hot dog. Dude, catfish. Woo, hot dog works every time. I'm joking.
Prince, next question.
Bam. So what is the writing on the tattoo on your body say? The tattoos.
On the side, you're asking.
It's Psalms 144, 1 and 2. It's a Bible verse. Okay. You know, Lord, as my, you know, my rock, prepares my hands for battle. Mm-hmm. So I got that actually when I was in, when I first started fighting, a buddy of mine did my tattoo in Minnesota. And then I had this pebbles.
Yeah, I got, actually, hold on, I'll put that. I mean, you're such a family guy, Bam Bam, but I got a photo here for you too. So there's one so people can see it. Nice.
Oh, wow, that's so cool.
My wife's got Bam Bam, yep.
And you've got the pebbles, that's awesome. Last question is, you are half Colombian, your father is Colombian. And so, you know, you're gonna continue to represent the Colombian flag when you come out. They were just asking what was your heritage in Colombia and have you ever been there?
So my dad's, you know, from Colombia. I grew up, my grandparents lived with us, when I was growing up, and I knew fluent Spanish actually back then. I spoke fluent Spanish. My grandparents went back to Colombia and my dad just didn't keep up with it. My mom doesn't speak Spanish, so he didn't seem, there's a couple reasons, just like he didn't want us to get picked on because he had a hard time growing up and getting picked on for speaking Spanish, and it was rough and got in a lot of fights, and he didn't want that for us, which we got in a lot of fights anyways. But but you know, I represent Colombia for my dad, for my family, and I'm proud to be a Colombian. And my dad, you know, instilled that when I was growing up is, yeah, we're Colombian warriors, you know, our last name come from warriors in Colombia, and that work hard and, you know, fight for everything they have and, you know, can constantly push through anything. And that's like, honestly, this is like what was ingrained in my head when I was a kid and like felt like I could do anything because I was just this, like this Colombian warrior. And I represent Colombia and I have been there. I've been to, what's it called? Not Cali, Bogota. Went to Bogota. I actually went there with the UFC. I went there with the UFC to do interviews after it was like a victory tour after I fought Warley Alves, and went there and did like interviews and everything, helped promote the sport because the sport's, you know, slowly growing out there, but not very much. They're kind of against it a little bit just because of violence. They think it's only violence. So we went out there to talk to him about like that it's not just violence. It's an art, you know. It really can take you to another place, not just, you know, attacking someone or beating somebody up or anything like that. It just can help you be peaceful and everything as well. So, but I look forward to going back.
So which part of Colombia are you from, Bam?
My dad's from Cali. And I have a lot of family. Yeah, and I have a lot of people, a lot of family that live in Medellin. Actually, when I was in Bogota, I got to see some of my family. There's a small group of my family that lives in Bogota, so I got to see some of them, spend time with them. My cousin showed me around, so that was pretty awesome.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Because you know what? It's a with the hype with all the narcos and all that in Colombia. I actually did some research around that. It's just Colombia is such a beautiful country, man. Like it's so one beautiful. Of the places with all this whole with this whole COVID-19 kind of restrictions lift up.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of the places definitely to check out. But Colombia is definitely one of those places that you have to go. You got to go check out, right?
Yeah, definitely. And they're going through some tough times right now, and I just want to send out my prayers to them and Colombia, all the people there. My prayers are going out to them, and they're in my heart. I'm thinking of them, and hopefully this clears up soon and gets straightened out.
Yep, that's it.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep,
can hear you.
Okay, sorry, I got booted out there for a second.
That's all right.
So thanks, Bam Bam. I did catch most of that. I apologize. We do something at the end. That was all our questions. We do something at the end, Bam Bam, of all our podcasts. Are you okay to stay on just a little bit longer?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got plenty.
Okay. So we go ahead, Prince.
Bam, actually, a part. I just thought of this last second, and I'm like, I was thinking about you and thinking about Warzone. I'm like, man, I got to do this for Bam. So today we're actually, so in terms of the fight on site, so we're picking on UFC fighters with the wickedest nicknames. And since we have you on, your nickname is just wicked, Bam Bam, right? Yeah. And so in today's fight on site edition, we will be picking wickedest UFC fighters with the wickedest nicknames. Okay. And so I guess, Tim, do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Do you have a list?
You can. No. So what we do is we put up two fighters head to head.
Okay.
Two fighters head to head, but it's based on like different criteria. So each week we do like a different theme. So in honor of you, because you're Bam Bam, we're like, okay, let's pick guys with cool nicknames. And then we put them up against, and then on our Instagram on Saturday, every Saturday in our story, we ask people to vote and we see who the winner is. Prince is demolishing me. Last week, Prince, you won again. I was winning for
the beginning. What was last week?
So last week was Tough One Fighters from the Ultimate Fighter One, because we had Raquel Pennington on as a guest. And so we went to the Ultimate Fighter One. I picked Kenny Florian. Prince picked Koscheck.
Josh Koscheck, baby. Classics.
It was a slaughter. I lost by like 80% or something ridiculous. It was crazy.
You know what it was, Bam? Because you see Josh Koscheck, you're like, oh man, I remember that guy. Yeah, that's him. I'm picking him.
Yeah, he caused all the trouble. Yeah.
That's it.
But you think Kenny Florian would be a good one because he's on the UFC stuff. He does podcasting, that kind of stuff.
Weird. You would think. Yeah.
It's the best that they go after.
That's right. So this week we're doing fighters with nicknames. Prince, you want me to go first?
Yeah, if you can go first. Yeah.
All righty. So my fighter this week for the nickname, there's a lot of good choices, but I went with the one that was very confusing nickname to me, the Huntington Beach Bad Boy. That is a nickname, man. Now, we all know this is Tito Ortiz. It was hard for me to find a good photo of Tito Ortiz. I don't know why. But Huntington Beach Bad Boy, we all know him, man. He was the guy that really like held the UFC together for quite a while before it went off on its ginormous run, right? Like he was kind of there in those weird stages. Still a very good guy. In looking this up, I didn't bother looking up any of his stats because we all know who he is. But Huntington Beach Bad Boy, when I was a kid or when I was watching him, I was always like, oh, Huntington Beach must be like some badass place. And like, he's the bad boy of Huntington Beach, I traveled to Huntington Beach. Have you ever been there, Bam Bam?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It is one of the most beautiful places ever.
Yeah.
It is like upper class beach. It's beautiful. The shops, like it's gorgeous there. To be the bad boy of Huntington Beach, I don't know if that's a tough
that
call,
bad of a boy.
I don't know. That was pretty funny. And then I actually I was looking it up, and Huntington Beach is like known for its beautiful gardens and its wonderful parks. And it has like the lowest crime rate of any U.S. city. I was like, wait a second. So this nickname, I don't know how we got that name, but that's my pick, Tito Ortiz, for this week's Fight on Sight. All right, sure, Prince.
Here we go. Here we go, bam. This is when I thought of this. I'm like, man, I need someone that's got a sick nickname. So the person I've got, the fighter that I have for today is the one and only, the Dean of Mean, Keith Jardine. Right? Everybody knows, right? And this man, right, everybody's got a smile because I remember when I first heard his nickname, I was like, yo, that's sick, the Dean of Mean. Right. And actually I did some research on this guy. And so Keith actually has 30 fights in the MMA, 17 wins, 8 by knockout. Actually, when you look up on him, he's an actor, ex MMA fighter, and then also an American actor. So actually it comes out first as an American actor, then a retired MMA fighter first. So second, I was like, what the, really?
Hey, that means he's doing something good then.
I've seen him in a couple of movies. There was one with Crank. You guys saw Crank.
Yep.
So he was in there too, right? And in Gamer with Gerard Butler. So that's my pick. And so now this is the best part. So bam, we actually put these guys in a simulation, a simulator. Okay, this is like $1 billion worth of equipment that you just put in. We put all the fighter profiles and we simulate. It's a fight simulator. And so hopefully when we put it all together, what happens is it comes out with a winner. So for today's Fight on Sight, and bam, if you can name out these characters, man, my hat goes off to you. You are a true gamer. So for Tim, for our pick and the person that we're picking for Tito Ortiz, we are picking.
I don't know his name.
Come on, man, you got this. It rhymes with rice.
Bryce?
Price. He's another Call of Duty character. And for Keith, Keith the Dean the Mean, we've got
no idea.
Okay, so this is Soap. If anyone who's an avid Call of Duty gamer, this guy was the one who died off at second Modern Warfare. His death was
okay. Like, is this story mode?
Yes, story mode.
Oh my goodness.
Bam, bam. Your son is going to be so disappointed in
here
you.
Here we go. Yeah. every gamer is going to be like, he's not a real gamer. I went through the story mode, then Warzone came out, and I went, whoop, jumped right over.
Bro, man. So basically with Soap, his death was kind of sad at the very end. He gets betrayed and thrown into a fire, and everybody said it was like the saddest gaming ending ever, right? It's actually top 10 up there. So, all right. So now we're putting them together. So bam, bam, I'm going to need you to use some of your sound effects, buddy. So we're going to use some of the, if you can use some of that Call of Duty sound effects, like, Team wipe. Team wipe.
Very nice.
There we go. So we got Soap, the winner. He's number one. We've got this person as Keith, number one. He is our pick for the Sith Fight Simulator. He's gonna take it. That is my prediction. That is what the fight simulator simulation has brought out, and that's the prediction. Yeah, that's it.
Make sure you come onto our Instagram on Saturday and vote. We release the podcast on Friday, so we give people one day before they can vote. But vote on Saturday, please come. Prince, tell people where they can find us.
Okay, you guys can find us at Fight Inside Podcast at YouTube. You can find us at Instagram, Fight Inside Podcast, Twitter. You can find us at Spotify as well, Fight Inside Podcast. And we're also on Apple Podcast as well. And yeah, and also if you want to get into also our podcast and want to be a part of the actual interview, you can email us at fightinsidepod@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you, Prince. And bam, bam. Before we go, obviously, huge, huge honor for us to have you on. You're a legend of the UFC, and we can't wait to see you fight July 31st. Anything that you want to say before you go?
Yeah, most importantly, I want to thank my wife and my kids for dealing with me and putting up with me and everything they had to go through fight camp and everything. I love them so much. Diana, Deegan, Chael, and Tevia. And yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter at Brian_Barbarina. I have a fan page on Facebook, it's Brian Barbarina. Follow me on Twitch, DCTB Bam Bam.
Yes.
You'll kind of maybe sometimes see some of the action that he was talking about. But if not, you'll just enjoy it. It'll be fun.
No, there's action. Guys, you guys got to log on. After this, I'm actually logging on. I want to see the action.
I'm probably jumping on anyway. Yeah. That's probably where I'm going next.
And the podcast.
Yeah, and your the DCTB podcast. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much wherever you go to listen to podcasts. be some new episodes coming to that as well. July 31st, watch me on, I don't know if it's going to be on ESPN Plus or what, or ABC, whatever now. But I'll be in the Octagon in the UFC, so tune in for that. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Sweet James, The Breath Belt, and Frozen North Hemp for providing me with CBD. And, you know, thank you so much for being a part of my camp and everybody who supported me, all the fans out there. Thank you so much. I'm honored that you guys follow me on my journey and are a part of it. Thank you so much. And thank you guys, of course. Thank you guys.
No worries.
I'm finally made it. I'm finally on the Fight Inside podcast. I made it.
Yeah, it was iffy there for a while, Bam Bam, but we let you in. We're okay. Bam Bam, thank you so much. It's been an absolute honor. You know, we really appreciate it. Send us all those links and we'll put them down on the bottom too, so that people can find them, all those things that you said. Guys, have a wonderful week. Next week, I do want to announce we have a Lion Fight competitor. Bam Bam, I don't know, if you know, Lion Fights is a Muay Thai organization. So there's a Canadian homegrown fighter we have, Regan Gowing. She's going to be on the podcast next week promoting her fight in a couple of weeks. So we're excited to have her.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, too.
See you guys. See you guys.